Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning talking Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for being with us. So, PK, we talked with you last week about whether or not the Titans should be interested in DeAndre Hopkins. We now know that they are and are at least had him in on the visit. He's visiting with the Patriots, according to Diana Rossini, today and tomorrow. And then beyond that, we'll have to wait and see. But how do you read this situation with the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins? I guess how real do you think the interest is on Hopkins' part, and what do you make of the market for him right now?
Well, I don't think he's jerking people around with these visits. That wouldn't be cool. I think he'd clearly like teams with more firepower at quarterback to step up, but that doesn't seem to be the market right now. I doubt he's in much of a hurry. Both of these teams are about to go dead. So it's not like he'd be missing much if he didn't sign for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And he can wait around during that period, but I can't pretend to know anything about what's gone on behind the scenes, how the visit was, anything like that. It's airtight, as it often is. He and Bill O'Brien didn't have a great, relationship at the end during the trade. But it's amazing how those things can repair themselves when you can help each other. And certainly New England needs him in the same way that the Titans need him. Usually in such circumstances, it comes down to cash. What are the Titans willing to offer? They certainly have the flexibility. I know a lot of people don't want to come to terms with the idea that a restructure of Harold Landry would give them plenty of flexibility in what they could do this year, and the cap's not an issue for them next year and the year beyond. If they did a 2 or 3 year deal, if they did a 1 year deal with voidable years, or they could do a variety of things in terms of how they structured a deal for him. So. I think they could be in it money-wise, but they probably have a ceiling on what they think he's worth, and it depends a lot on the rest of the market.
What would you give him based on all the information available?
I don't know if I'd get close to 10. I have a source that thought he's worth 5 to 7 with incentives. I think the Odell Beckham deal really messes things up because he's not worth anything close to 15. But I think that's kind of a Lamar Jackson Ravens offense tax to get somebody there. So 9-ish maybe. I can't say for sure, though, in the context of their finances. They definitely need him. But I'm a little wary on the he doesn't practice side of things, or he doesn't like to practice side of things. I don't think that's healthy for them, and it doesn't fit with Vrabel. But this would be Vrabel choosing a guy who doesn't practice who he knows, as compared to them trading for Julio Jones, who I don't think Vrabel was as big on as John Robinson was. who was maybe a different brand of he doesn't practice because he didn't practice because he was hurt.
PK, what did you take away from Kevin Byard and what he had to say, or maybe more specifically what he didn't have to say last week with his relationship with the Titans and where it stands?
Well, let's start with I think everything's going to be just fine. I mean, I don't think he's there this week. I don't think we'll see him today based on the answers he gave about going back to his plan. And I asked him outright if he'd be there, and he said he didn't want to get into that. And look, a guy missing OTAs is not life-altering for a team or for the guy. It's just weird because he'd been around for the bulk of his career. The only time I could remember him not being there was the year after COVID when the union was pushing guys to stay away because the offseason had proved itself meaningless during the COVID year. And the union actually had a little bit of leverage with pushing that to keep going. And he stayed away for a little while there. But still, things smell funny. You know, and you know, he talked the third day of OTAs instead of the first day. He could have made clear that there was no beef between he and the team early on in the process when he definitely knew, whether he's paying attention or not, he definitely knew that it was a big story and that everybody was presuming there was beef. And he let it go from, you know, mid-March all the way to nearly mid-June, you know. A simple tweet or line to his agent to give to somebody that he just chose to work on his own, and he planned that early, and it had nothing to do with any squabbling, could have quashed that whole story, and instead he let that story be a big deal. And you know, look, he's a prideful guy, and understandably so, based on the resume. And I can't imagine, as happy as he is for Jeff Simmons, hearing all the great things they say about Jeff Simmons when they sign him, you know, making him Mr. Titan pretty much, you know, does everything we want, everything we stand for, all the same things they said about Kevin Byard, you know, when he got signed, when he wins awards and all of those things, and he sits and sees Simmons being lauded that way while they asked him to take a pay cut, perhaps indelicately. You know, is there at least a psychological undertone to him? I would imagine so. Is it going to have a bad bearing on them in the long run? I doubt it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it'll have any bearing on his performance this year. But I want to go back to Hopkins, PK. Let's say they sign and they figure it out, and I'm with you. I think it could be a while here, but. Let's say all that happens and he ends up being a good version. They actually get, you know, he does not enter into the Hall of Fame of washed Titans greats at receiver. And he's close to what we've seen from him, and he plays most of the season. What does that do for Treylon Burks? What does that do just for this offense at large?
I think it does wonders for Treylon Burks, who, you know, isn't doubled on a regular basis. It puts all these other guys, you know, I think Phillips is still, you know, three-ish and slotty, but we don't have to watch them pretend that Chris Moore and NWI, sorry, are a two and a three in some manner, as long as people are healthy. You know, I'm not going to say it backs people off of Derrick Henry because we've seen that. It just doesn't happen. But, you know, there's still a lot of ifs. You know, we don't know if Andre Dillard can play a sufficient left tackle and all of that. But their weaponry will have been revised to some degree. And you add Spears and Hopkins to the mix, and Chig in his second year and Burks in his second year, and things look a lot better on offense. And then the question, the spotlight, I think, gets pointed at Kelly to see what he can do with these guys and how much better the play calling and the play design and the offense will be. You know, I think I'd certainly make them a lot more competitive with in the conference in terms of being a playoff contender in the division. it doesn't turn him into a Super Bowl contender by any means for me, considering the quarterback competition in the AFC, but they're a lot more interesting to everybody in town. And all of a sudden nationally, you could spend a minute or two on them on your show without people flipping away.
PK, last thing here for you. You know, the Titans bring over Sarah Bailey as a director of football research and development from the Rams. What is the approach, I guess, this offseason of adding more to the analytics department, kind of tell you about Rand Carthon and the approach that he's taken?
Well, he said it from the start that, you know, he's a believer, and his predecessor just wasn't, certainly not in terms of manpower, you know. So they've got an assistant GM now who's a believer, with at least two people under him, and growing. And so, it doesn't change Mike Vrabel, who uses this stuff, but doesn't feel the need to have a great deal of personnel on it. He and Stretch kind of take care of all of that stuff, and, you know, feel like that's sufficient for them. So I don't know how much the front office will be suggesting game day stuff to the coach, but I think applying it in terms of player acquisition and sorting through who they want and why they want him, and adding a layer to that sort of stuff, is definitely a big change for this organization that has been slow to go there. And I can't see anybody who's a fan of modern football not welcoming that change and thinking it'll be healthy for the organization. And count me among those people for sure.
Well, PK, really appreciate you as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always happy to. Thanks, guys.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to some breaking news in the SEC coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com for being with us in the last segment. Joe, we'll get back into the Titans here in just a second, but I do want to get to some news on the SEC front. Peter Burns putting it out there this morning. And by the way, the 2024 SEC schedule is going to be coming out later tonight. So, we've talked about that with the 8-game stuff. Hopefully it's a 1-year thing with the 8-game as Texas and Oklahoma are joining the conference and they figure things out for 2025 and beyond. But we'll see what that looks like tonight for both Tennessee and Vanderbilt and then the rest of the conference. But Peter Burns putting it out there that each of the SEC teams will play either Texas or Oklahoma once in 2024. So first year of Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference in 2024, every team in the SEC will play either Texas or Oklahoma that year. And whether or not that's at home or on the road will obviously be announced later tonight. But each team in the SEC will play one of the two in their first year in 2024. So that's the breaking news. There you go.
Okay. Well, I like that. Get the new guys. Get the new guys initiated. Everybody gets a shot at one of them.
And then, you know, they've also said for 2024 they're going to do their best to basically protect some of these rivalries. So I would imagine, Joe, that we'll still probably have the Tennessee-Alabama game in 2024. We'll see about Tennessee-Florida. They're going to do their best on all those things. But hopefully, you know, when you're talking about traditional rivalries, you can do it the best you can with the 8-game schedule. But if every team is playing either Texas or Oklahoma once, you're probably not going to have a way to protect all of the traditional rivalries for that 1 year.
No, I still kind of, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess tonight that Tennessee has, obviously they'll have one of those two teams, and then I'm going to guess that Florida, Vanderbilt, Alabama are all on Tennessee's schedule next year.
Yep.
And then... Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I think Florida is probably the most likely to not be. And this year is kind of, could be, the end of really an incredible rivalry, to, not for the entirety of the 30 years, but a 30-plus year stretch of it being, and at times in there, to me, the best game in college football.
Will Tennessee-Georgia continue? That's going to be the other question heading into 2024. And if not, is Tennessee's path to the national championship as Nico takes over in 2024 just laid out right in front of us? Who knows?
I mean, Tennessee and Auburn, the only two teams that every year have had to play Bama and Georgia. So to not have to do that probably sounds pretty good to the Vols.
We'll see what happens on that front and the rest of the SEC schedule for 2024. That's 3 minutes, Joe, of schedule release talk. That's about all I'm willing to do.
Woo!
Well, we'll have all kinds of sound and analysis and analytics from the show, though, tomorrow. Don't
yes.
worry, everybody.
Oh, yes. I have a lot of analytics on that front. Speaking of analytics, I brought this up with Paul Kuharsky, but what do you make of the Titans, their new approach with Rand Carthon, the role that analytics could play with player acquisition, as he talked about, you know, Chad Brinker coming over from the Packers and the investment level that goes in there, Sarah Bailey now coming over from the Rams as the director of football research and development. What does that kind of show you about this new regime here led by Rand Carthon and how they're going to use analytics moving forward here with the Titans, an area where a lot of people, including Kuharsky, have argued that they've been well behind the rest of the league on that front?
Yeah, it should be encouraging to Titans fans. I think it's a good idea. Look, like he said, I mean, Vrabel has been asked by analysts before, like, what do you got? Let's go. Let's talk analytics. And he, look, they've done things that he finds important for sure. I do think it's hilarious to even consider the idea of, these analytics people saying, coach, right now you should punt, you know.
The math, the chart says, this Butch Jones chart says that you should punt here.
Everybody mute all the nerds right now, says Vrabel from the sideline.
Yes.
That's not going to happen. But like PK said, it's player acquisition. And that's – so, I mean, Brinker already, because, again, he has his own thing that he is developing, has developed some of it, is developing more of it. And salary cap and injuries are part of that. And so if you can get to the point where you're more predictive when it comes to players and injuries, this is certainly a franchise that could use that. Now, granted, you didn't need heavy analytics to, like, look at Caleb Farley and say, I don't know, you know, but still, I mean, it sounds like they really are going deep on that topic. And so, yeah, I think it's more a thing for player acquisition, but look, it's where the game is. You don't want to be behind. You don't want to be that team. I mean, some of it is like just the discussion in the analytics community, right? It's like the Titans don't even have like full-time people, you know, until last year and stuff like that. Was that some part of like last year's failures? I mean, I have no idea. I probably wouldn't put that, you know, high on the list, but you don't want to be behind in any way in trends in this league. And so they're going to have that data. And as Rand Carthon in San Francisco, certainly when he was introduced and early in his tenure here, has at times talked about how it helped them in particular around the draft.
Joe, the latest tweet from Diana Russini is, quote, DeAndre Hopkins expected a visit with the Patriots later today and tomorrow morning, per sources. For those who have raised some concerns about Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien and Hopkins' past relationship in Houston, sources have shared there's no animosity at all. This is from Diana Russini this morning. Now, we've talked about, you know, Kuharsky just said it, but the relationship wasn't good between Hopkins and Bill O'Brien towards the end there. John McClain said on Chase and Michelle yesterday that those two did not care for each other in Houston. But according to Diana Russini's sources, no animosity between DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien as he prepares for his visit with the New England Patriots today and tomorrow morning.
Well, if DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien are cool after that trade, then I don't think anyone should be worried that like there's going to be any adverse effect on Kevin Byard's performance or anything like that this year for the Titans, right?
I mean, I would say probably not.
Maybe it's just not that deep.
It's business. There you go. It's not that deep. Great. That's the phrase of like the recent weeks for us on this show. We're very
hip. Yes.
Yeah. It's mid. It's a mid-level concern.
There you go. Yeah.
Off-season storylines are mid and not that deep.
not that deep.
Yeah, well, we're getting into the time of year where the big news today is going to be the SEC stupid schedule show. So.
Joe, you are going to be glued in front of your TV with your leg up on a little recliner, glued to seeing all of these SEC football matchups. We know.
But by the way, thanks for not mentioning to Garcia that I have gout, or the entire segment would have been him making fun of my gout.
I got to say, I saw the opportunity there. And I just decided to leave it alone. I figured if you wanted to bring up to Kaharsky that you're currently dealing with a gout episode, that would be something that you could do, but I wasn't going to do it.
I may tell him. I mean, maybe he'll send over, you know, a fruit basket or something with some cherries in it.
We have some advice on the text line that Rex Road needs to eat some cherries. I also did a Google search, which kind of says the same thing. So as we know, Google can never be wrong. Cherries, the way to go when you're dealing with a gout attack.
Yep, I've been there. We'll be there again.
Shirley Temple it up, Joe. Shirley Temple it up. So when people ask where you are at OTAs today, what's the answer?
He's going to cover
Vanderbilt Athletics.
I am totally fine with gout awareness. I think we need more gout awareness. So okay. You know, tell people I have gout. It's fine.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic and the questions here this week. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
This. We all have choices to make.
This.
Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit jaredcompaniesinc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30. The Choice Is Yours, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving and concrete needs. You can get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Michelle Knezovic, you are the leader, the fearless leader of this competition this week. I turn things over to you.
Yes, I am. One thing I'm not leading, though, is weekend winners with an awful back half of the
competition. I guess I officially won, huh? How about that?
Yeah, you did officially win. We need to make sure to say that. Sorry, Rex.
Why can't we do it one more week? I'm actually in the thing.
You did have a miraculous comeback. I also had, which is probably equivalent to the Titans' second half of the season. I think I went 1-5 for 3 weeks in a row.
Total collapse by Michelle Knezovic.
College World Series, just lots saying. Of good betting. Just saying.
Okay. I've won Preds Pick to Click, and now we can win.
You have. I won Pigskin Pick'em, though. Sorry, Jay, you haven't won anything yet. But what do you want to start with today? Sports or non-sports, fellas?
Let's go sports.
Okay, we'll go sports. In honor of our conversation surrounding the golden age of Tennessee athletics, what was one golden age of a specific team? I mean, that you enjoyed, whether it be watching or covering. You know, they don't have to have a championship in there, but maybe just like a span of time where it was just, you know, every year they were in the conversation. I can go first if you guys want to think on this for a second.
Well, mine's easy, but you can go first if you want to.
Okay, I'll go first. So mine is Kentucky basketball from about 2009 to about 2018-19 when I graduated. You got a championship in there, and then every other year except for 2012 when they made the NIT, but we're just going to gloss over that one. It was an Elite Eight, a Final Four, and or Sweet 16. The absolute glory days that I can remember when, you know, I was alive and rooting for University of Kentucky and my 4 years of being there. But since 2018, 2019, since I've left, they've had a lot of issues. So I'll just blame that on myself of, you know, I'm not there. I'm the good luck charm. But yeah, that was a great period of time. And I really actually enjoyed watching March Madness. Now I'm just very anxious and I just can't even watch their games. So that is my glory days, golden age of Kentucky basketball.
July of 2010 until July of 2014. The Miami Heat with LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Love it. 2013 Miami Heat are my favorite team of all time of any sport. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the heck out of it. But that is my answer. Number one, like the villain conversation, kind of the first part of it, how they played into it a little bit too much.
still the series that hurts me the most to this day is the Mavericks series that they were unquestionably the better team in 2011 and lost that one. But to win the championship in 12 and 13, 2010 to 2014 Miami Heat is my answer.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like all, you know, I have four my childhood teams, three of them had amazing stretches. You know which what the other one did,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, I do.
You know who the other one is. I go with my bad boys. I mean, as much the Red Wings is an incredible run, especially mostly with Yzerman, but so many changes along the way, and just, you know, but that was, you know, like you said, we were talking about earlier in the show, that was pre-salary cap, and so I do put a little more. And my Tigers in the 80s, I think, were the winningest team, but they only had the one title, and it's their last title, 1984. But the bad boys, they dominated Jordan. They
had to throw that in there.
Well, they did. And then they ended the Lakers and Celtics, basically, although the Lakers did come back and lose in Jordan's first finals. But they should have won the championship. They should have won, you know, probably one or two more. But they got two, and they were a dominant team for a stretch, and they were just incredibly fun. Just so much fun. I mean, because most people hated them. But they were also – the thing that gets lost is they were an incredibly efficient and diverse offensive team to go with the defense and the physicality. Bad boys.
There you go.
And, of course, the most important thing you said there was that they dominated Jordan. Make sure everybody can hear that.
Hey, man. He did beat him once out of the four times he faced him in the playoffs. So, yay, Michael.
Had to make sure we highlighted that. Okay, switching to non-sports, guys. You can have one specific meal for the rest of your life. It's the only thing that you can eat. And we can't do like, oh, I want a burger and one day I'll have bacon, one day I'll have an egg. Like, it has to be a specific meal, the same thing every single day for the rest of your life.
Just one item.
Well, it can be like a sandwich with like fries or something like that.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I will paint a beautiful picture for you all. Sourdough bread toasted, turkey, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, bacon, turkey club, triple decker, cut in triangles with the little toothpicks on top, sweet potato fries with a side of honey mustard. My ultimate go for it. Your ultimate meal, I will get a turkey club at every single restaurant, but it has to be sourdough bread because it is elite, and sweet potato fries. I could eat that meal for every single day of the rest of my life.
It's very specific with the triangle.
Oh, yes,
cut.
It is.
Very specific. Joe Rexroad.
Well, I'm doing this with like health kind of in mind, especially on today as I
ice gout on the mind.
By the way, Keith, in the text line says you can't spell gout without UT, which is correct.
Nice. So I'm going to go with salmon, a really good, you know, just baked salmon filet with asparagus, with cheesy grits. Okay, so I'm going to, you know, get a little wild there, and a Hofbräu bottle. Okay.
Okay.
Which is the best beer in the world. So Hofbräu original and salmon, asparagus, grits. I mean, you're going to get sick of anything, but at least with that, which I love, I also probably will live a couple years longer than if I do what I was going to do, bacon wrapped filet, you know?
Ooh, the red meat though, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not scared of it at all. Bring me my ribeye steak, loaded baked potato, and the, of course, dessert of banana pudding to go along with it. That's what I'm going
with.
If
we do
time.
Dessert, I'm taking cheesecake.
I might die, but...
Joe?
It's all right.
Yeah, key lime pie.
Okay. Wow, these are great meals, ladies and gents. Okay, switching back to sports. Let's just play a little hypothetical game. Let's say DeAndre Hopkins does wear the two-tone blue this year. If you can pick one player out of the four I give you to have a career year for the Tennessee Titans, who will it be? DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Derrick Henry, or Ryan Tannehill?
That's easy.
Easy?
Let me go fast.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Treylon Burks. His career year is like, he has 600 yards. It's a career year.
So that's who you would choose?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's...
Which one would you pick?
If you could select.
Like, if you could pick to then equal success for the team.
Oh, I see. I see. Not which one do you think will have the career years? Which one, if you're the Titans, would you choose? I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Treylon Burks is dead last on the list for me. I think it's going to be very easy for him to have a career year.
Joe's like, let me go quick. Treylon Burks, baby, 600 yards.
I mean, honestly, I think my answer is Derrick Henry because that would mean he's rushing for like 2,100 yards. So I'm going Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I'm like, if we talk career year, you could have him, you know, about right before that age 30, 2,000, maybe like 17, 18 touchdowns. I think that's my answer.
I'll switch because I thought that too, and it would be outrageous. But I mean, if Tannehill has a career year again, so I mean, in 19, his yards per attempt and you know, like he had Montana numbers. So if you have that, then that means he's upright in the pocket. And everything else is working well. Boy, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was kind of my second one for that. Okay, moving on to non-sports to wrap it up. This is kind of a big topic, but what is your biggest pet peeve, number one on the list, that just irks you like no other? You want me to go first, guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Number one pet peeve. You are out to lunch, out to coffee, sitting with a friend, talking to a colleague, whatever it may be, just the two of you. And you're having a conversation and the other person brings out their phone and is just clearly just not paying attention as you're talking to them. And then you ask them a question and it's about maybe another minute and a half of them on their phone. Then they put their phone down and they're like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, that bothers me like no other. I will say, I probably have been an offender of this, but I try to be better. Oh, that is just...
You youngins.
It really... And I love my younger sisters, middle school younger sisters, but ooh, the phone at that level is... Or actually, they're in high school. Oh my gosh. The phone at that level is just way worse.
That's a good one. I like that.
That's a good one, and I agree. I also have absolutely been on both sides of that. You know, so.
I know, so if I
Joe, your biggest pet peeve.
I mean, this one. You know, we there's so many, and I'll think of 20. But I will say, and I'm going to go back to this. You know, if you're professional journalists, either writers or editors, who don't understand that. Freshman is an adjective. It is so many freaking times. And I mean, I've been railing about this since being at the Lansing State Journal 20 years ago. Freshman receivers is fresh man, M-A-N. You will find so many professional journalists who write freshmen receivers, making it a double plural. It's an adjective. You don't say sophomores receivers. You don't say juniors receivers. You don't say seniors receivers. You say adjectives and then the noun, and it really pisses me off, and it continues to happen in society, and I'm sick of it. Sorry.
I love how that is, of all the pet peeves in the world, that one's yours.
AP style, man.
It keeps happening. It's like, dude, a one word can be both a noun and an adjective.
We should do like a grammar segment with Joe.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Mine's pretty simple. Like, I've gone on a rant about this before, but sitting there holding the door open for people and they just act like you're a doorstop and don't exist as an actual human being, that annoys me. It probably shouldn't, but it does.
Just start.
That's my answer.
Letting go of the door.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. Didn't see you there. Apparently you didn't see me either. This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at every Wednesday morning at 8:30 here on the program. We've got a lot of thoughts to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get into that coming next. We'll get back into the Titans as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've covered a lot of ground on the text line today. We have cures for gout on the text line. We have thoughts on the Titans. We have Ryan from Chicago talking trash about the Chicago Bulls before he was born, on the text line as well. It's good stuff on the text line today.
Yeah, that's too bad, Ryan from Chicago. that your Bulls went 1-3, Michael Jordan against the Pistons. But hey, doesn't he live in New Orleans now? What's he doing? Shouldn't he do something, Ryan?
Big Pelicans guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that NBA franchise down there is doing well. Zion's got a whole slew of issues happening now.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe he should just probably put his phone away for a good bit. A good bit.
Does he do that? Does he do that to you, Michelle? Where he's all of a sudden he's just staring at his phone, and then he's like, "Huh?" When you ask him a question.
Zion.
Ryan.
What?
Not Zion Williamson.
No, we
don't need to get into Zion Williamson's transgressions lately. Got some situations going on down there.
No. This is more like friends, family, and stuff like that.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. Good job, Ryan. Despite your terrible fandom. Good job on that.
Joey, we went over this earlier, but kind of a weird situation going on in Buffalo. Stephon Diggs was not there yesterday for the practice portion of minicamp. So apparently he is in Buffalo. He had a conversation with Brandon Bean, the general manager, and with Sean McDermott, the head coach, in Buffalo yesterday. But he did not practice, was not there for minicamp, mandatory minicamp. And the quote from Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, after was that he is very concerned about the situation. Josh Allen spoke to the media yesterday and broke the silence on the Diggs situation. This coming from CBS Sports, and said, quote, "I know internally we're working on some things, not football related, but Steph, he's my guy. I effing love him. He's a brother of mine. This does not work what we're doing here without him, but I've got his back no matter what." Apparently he was asked what he meant about not being related to football, and he said, quote, "I mean, I think it has more to do than just football is what I'm basically saying. I think there's the football piece, one, and then stuff that happens due to football, and I'll just kind of keep it at that," was the quote from Josh Allen yesterday. So I have no idea what in the world's going on with Stephon Diggs. He put on Instagram last night, Stephon Diggs did, quote, "I'd just be letting people cap. If them lies help you sleep better, tell them, big dog," was what Stephon Diggs put on Instagram last night on his story. So kind of a weird situation going on right now with Diggs and the Bills. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. That one really fascinates me. So who lied?
I don't know.
Like McDermott, that he's really worried? Josh Allen, with the nice things he said about, like, that's a really interesting one. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it doesn't add up that this would be any sort of contract deal. So
yeah, he signed a contract extension last offseason. So you're talking about you're a year removed from signing what I believe was a 4-year deal worth over $100 million, $70 million, which was guaranteed. So the contract part of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Maybe he's just finally sick of having to deal with snow in late September.
Well, maybe,
you know?
Maybe. It could be that.
That lake effect, man. Whew. Hey, Michelle, did you see the text line, the two texts at both at 8:43?
No.
Okay, just make sure you check that out before the show ends.
No, I don't.
Get back to us.
Good. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Don't worry, it's nothing about Zion Williamson.
Oh, good. That's good. But, like, if Stephon Diggs is whatever's going on there, could that change the way the Buffalo Bills view the DeAndre Hopkins situation? He's already visiting with the Patriots today. You know, if they're worried about Diggs, could they get maybe a little bit more serious about the DeAndre Hopkins conversation? What do you think, Joe?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, we're miles away from any sort of actual threat that he doesn't play this year, right? So
I think,
but yeah, if
depends on what he puts on his Instagram story today. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, but I would say the $3 million offer would have to go up a little bit. So that's what I just, man, I'm just fascinated by the numbers and where the Titans and Patriots are with him. And I'm just guessing, even if he's had to get a little bit more realistic in the last few weeks, given that the market is not exactly going nuts for DeAndre Hopkins, I still feel like he's probably in a place that neither of those teams are willing to go right now. But maybe we'll be surprised. Keep waiting on that right after 9 a.m. press release.
Somebody on the text line says, think it's a pay cut for Diggs? I don't know. I've heard that pay cuts can make people mad in this league.
Oh, God. Imagine that one.
Stephon, I know we just gave you this contract and we're a year into the 4-year deal, but we'd really like you to take a pay cut. What do you think?
Yeah, and you're pretty much our entire passing game, but hey. Yeah. I don't think it's that. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's that. It's a very interesting, weird situation that hopefully we figure out more on that today.
I mean, he did have 108 catches for 1,429 yards and 11 touchdowns last year. So seems like the production's in line with what he's getting paid.
Yeah, not quite a season that precedes a pay cut, you know?
Maybe he wants D-Hop.
Stephon, we were looking to you to catch maybe about 150 balls for 2,500 yards and 22 touchdowns. So came up a little bit short.
Yeah, what Michelle said, I mean, at least it's some, like, is it possible that he was, like, insulted they only offered $3 million? And he's like, dude, if we had D-Hop, we are winning the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what he believes. Maybe he's mad about that. I don't know.
The showing up to the facility and then not practicing after showing up to the facility, I mean, I would call it a hold in, but he's already got a deal. Like, it's not a contract discussion. So I don't know what to call it. But the weirdest part is a sit-in. Yeah, the weirdest part about it is, like, what is McDermott, quote, very concerned about? Like, what is going on to the point where your coach is publicly talking about how concerned he is with Stephon Diggs not being there?
Right, exactly. So yeah, so maybe it's like a personal conflict with the OC. I mean, Dayball's gone. Receivers, you know, it's like some personal thing with a coach. I don't know. I mean, we could speculate all day, which, hey, I enjoy doing. So let's continue. But thank you for your text, the texters, Will, and the other texter who their pet peeve is a Michelle.
Titans.
You know. I think it's always better, actually.
It's always Joe that brings it up. Every time. It's not me. It's always Joe.
Of course, I looked at the 843 messages, and I saw the first one and was like, well, should have known this thing was coming. And honestly, once I wrote the question, I knew somebody would text it in. You know, I am just...
We just need them to go back to the Oilers. We can solve this problem.
I'm flattered that me saying a word Oilers gets under somebody's skin as much as it does.
It's a great song by Brooks and Dunn. Great song.
That is a great song. I think Michelle's progressing in that way.
I think so, too.
Mine never matter.
I was also fascinated on Chase Michelle yesterday. If you missed the interview with John McClain, check it out on Apple or Spotify. His thoughts on the Titans wearing the Oilers jerseys.
Yes.
It's going to be a big deal in Houston whenever that happens. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, think about that, and DeAndre Hopkins is in one of those jerseys.
That's what I said. That was the question. I said, let me paint a picture for you.
Nice. There you go. You're painting some pictures between that and the club sandwich. It actually sounds pretty amazing.
We're on radio. We got to help people out here. We don't have video.
That's right. Congrats to the Vegas Golden Knights on winning the Stanley Cup last night. I know that based on my Twitter feed and this text line today, Preds fans, NHL fans at large, very happy about that one, Joe. Very happy. Sarcasm font.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially a fan base like this one, I would think, would be particularly annoyed. A fan base like this one that's been there the whole way with the Preds, particularly annoyed today.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.